Well, tonight we're having a family meeting, so I'm so thankful that each of you were able to come tonight. I just want to share this. It's actually your duty to be here. It's not only a privilege, it is your duty. It is your responsibility as a member of Gospel Grace Church to be here when we have family meetings, because actually in a number of places of Scripture, the weight of what it means to be the church is not simply laid upon the elders, it's laid upon the people. And so tonight, what I'd like to do to start out our meeting is I'd like to encourage you in the fact that we have the opportunity to be committed church members. Like, what does that mean? And maybe you've been part of churches in the past where membership meant that one Sunday in the year, at one point in your life, you came forward and said, I'd like to be a member. And there were a bunch of people that said aye, and no one said nay, hopefully. And from then on, you appeared on a list that now you're on the membership list. Well, I want to suggest to you that membership means far more than appearing on a list. I would suggest to you that it's God's intent that the local church be central to the lives of Christians. I just want you to think about that for one second. Is the local church central to your life? I think it was God's intention when he sent his son here with this desire. Do you remember what he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18? Jesus said this, I will build my church. He came to do this, to establish it, to found it, to be the cornerstone of it, to love it so deeply that he would give his life for it. It was that significant to Jesus, and he gives us an opportunity to be part of it. And I think that's how he intends for his people to live out their faith and to experience community. So if you have a deep need in your heart for community, the central place where you're going to experience that here on earth is in the church. It's the community of believers gathered together in mutual commitment to one another and submitted to Christ. It's our opportunity for community. It's our opportunity to flesh out what it means to live by faith. That is the Christian community known as the church. And so what I'd like to do is this. I'd like to answer this question tonight before we dive into some of the other matters of church life. I'd like to answer this question. Where in the Bible do you get the idea of church membership? I mean, is it really biblical? I mean, I didn't ask you to turn anywhere in your Bible, but would you please turn in your Bible to the book of church membership? All of a sudden, you'd be like, wait, there's 66 of them, and that's not one of them. Would you please turn to the chapter whose core purpose is to teach church membership? Would you please turn there? Let me know where I need to turn. I would suggest to you there's no book in the Bible. There's not like this book right after Revelation that talks about church membership. Nor is there even a chapter in the Bible whose core component is to specifically talk about church membership. However, the idea of church membership is all throughout the New Testament. You cannot read the New Testament correctly and escape the fact that God's intention for Christians is to be part and parcel in a local church. Have you ever considered how many of the practices and commands of the New Testament would lose all of their meaning if there was no identifiable, recognizable, real church membership? I mean, think of some of the different commands in Scripture that would lose their meaning. Think of some of the different intentions of Scripture that would completely be absolved if there was no recognizable, identifiable, real church membership. Can you think of any of those? I didn't intend to make this interactive, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. Can you think of any of the passages of the Bible, any of the commands of the Bible, any of the intents of the New Testament that become irrelevant if there is no real identifiable church membership? Yeah, I mean, how in the world are we going to take care of the widows who are among us? Actually, in Paul's writing to Timothy, on a number of occasions, he talks about a widow's list. That seems pretty recognizable. Yeah, Matt, in the back. Yeah, so go to your brother, then take two, and if they still will not repent and resolve the issue, take it to the church. How in the world do you do that if there is no recognizable church? There's no group that we can actually bring them before. Good. Any others? Yeah, Paul. How are we going to practice the ordinances of the church that Jesus Christ left for us to do if there is no identifiable body of believers that are gathering together in assembled commitment to one another and to Christ? Good. What else? I saw someone here. Josh. Yeah. Yeah, great. I mean, so we have this office, but how does that even work if there is no church? There is no flock. Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah. How do you choose out from among you 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom? Acts chapter 6. How do you choose from among who if there is no recognizable real body of believers? So I want to suggest there is no chapter of the Bible that dedicates itself specifically to church membership, nor is there a book of the Bible that is the church membership book. But the idea is throughout the New Testament. You all have mentioned some great ones, but how can there be church leadership with specific qualifications if there is no recognizable church body? You look at those qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. How can there be explicit commands for pastors to shepherd the flock, like Josh said in 1 Peter 5:2, if there is no flock? How can elders be responsible for watching over particular souls if there is no gathering of people who they are supposed to be responsible for? Do you remember Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. How can I be held accountable for watching for people's souls if we have no identifiable group with whom I'm supposed to be responsible for watching over? Does that make sense? Or the other pastors as well? So it's clear through these ideas of Scripture. So church leadership points us that way. I think church discipline, I don't think anyone mentioned that one. Church discipline points us towards an identifiable group of people. How can you put someone out of something if there has never been something to begin with? It'd be like me looking over here at Jonathan Jarrett and say, Jonathan Jarrett, you're kicked off the baseball team. And he's looking at me saying, what baseball team? I was never part of a baseball team. What do you mean? Right? You can't be kicked out of something or excommunicated from something that never existed or you were never a part of. Church discipline itself, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul calls the church of Corinth, those believers there, to put out of their fellowship this man who was involved in sexual immorality. How can we have church discipline without that? How about the lists and the evidences of voting in the Scriptures? So it was mentioned, Liesl mentioned the list of widows. That's 1 Timothy 5:9. There's also evidences of this majority vote in 2 Corinthians 2:6, where the majority of people came to a conclusion or came to a decision in 2 Corinthians 2:6. There can never be a majority if there is no definable group, right? If we don't know who the group is, there can never be a majority. So all these things are simply ideas that point to a recognizable church membership. How about the receipt of letters? Do you know that every New Testament letter points to the fact that there was a recognizable church membership? I mean, I'll just prove it to you. Go home tonight and take out a pen and paper and write a letter and then stick it in an envelope. And then what do you have to do? You have to address it to somewhere, right? It has to be received by someone. That's how Paul's letters went. There was a church at Corinth. There was a church at Colossae. There was a church of Galatia. And there was a recognizable group of people who would receive these letters and then would read them in public. There was order and structure enforced. What was some of the order and structure of this recognizable group of people who were gathering? Well, they were gathering on the first day of the week. Remember that? They were collecting offerings on the first day of the week. Paul knew that he could have his letters read to the gathering of these believers. He calls for things in 1 Corinthians 14:40 to be done decently and in order. So although we have no biblical treatise, we have the idea scattered throughout Scripture. So the idea of church membership is extremely biblical. But what is the essence of church membership? What does that mean for all of us? And the reason I want to take time to do this is because we have just started taking in church members. And this is just the beginning step of Gospel Grace Church. It's not the end. Like, if everyone said I, and they all clapped and said amen, and you're part of the church, that's just the beginning. It's not the end. It's just the beginning of what it means to be part of this community of believers. I want to highlight three things that are part and parcel with being a member of a local congregation. Here's number one. Church membership means commitment. Some people look at church membership like gym membership. You know what that's like? That's like you feel guilty in January because of everything you ate in December, right? All the way probably back to November with Thanksgiving. It's just been poor eating since Thanksgiving all the way through. And then you hit the new year and they give all these deals. And so you sign up for a gym membership. But what does gym membership entail? It means you have to get out of bed early or get up early. It means you have to go out in the cold because we usually start in January, right? And we have to pack our gym bag and then we have to shower there and remember our little shower shoes so we don't get warts and different sorts of foot fungus at the gym, right? I mean, you got to do all this stuff to just because you've joined this membership. And you do it for about a week every day. And then the next week you do it about 3 days. And then by the third week you're doing about 1 day. And then by the fourth week it's just become too much of a hassle. It's too much of a pain. It's too cold. It's too early. I don't feel like it. Maybe I'll try something else at home. I'll rent one of those Richard Simmons workout videos from the library. I'm going to do something, but I'm not going to get up anymore. Okay? We'll find some other alternative because it's just too hard, too difficult. It's not convenient or comfortable. And so we quit going. I want to tell you something. There are probably millions of people in the U.S. They have church membership like gym membership. When it's too difficult, too cold, not convenient, they're tired, they don't feel like it, it's too much of a hassle, they don't feel like they have to go. They drop out. They stop coming. They're not there anymore. You see what I mean? They view it like a gym membership. I want to suggest to you that the scriptures talk about this commitment to the local body as a living commitment. It's not a January commitment. It's a living commitment. It's something that you commit your life to be part of the local assembly of believers. And I just want to suggest this commitment means you attend. I think the first and most important ministry that you should commit yourself to is just attendance. Like you're here tonight. And that's what Gospel Grace Church members should be. They should just be part and parcel of when we gather. Anybody want to give me a verse for, hey, when the church gathers, be there? Anybody? Hebrews 10:25. Anybody want to quote it? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's like we need to gather. We need to be refreshed. We need to be renewed. And so your first ministry. So I would just say there's some people that are looking for a ministry. They're looking for something to do. Number one ministry. Your first and foremost ministry is attend. When the church gathers, we have community group, be there. When we have family meetings, be there. When we gather on Sundays, be there. When we're in the park on Friday, just be there. Make it part of your life as a living commitment. I'm going to attend. Make a commitment to seek peace. So not just attend, but to seek peace. Probably the more you attend, the more opportunities you're going to have to rub shoulders with sinners. It's awesome. Do you want to know what? There's a whole lot of people that'll stay in church just long enough to find a sinner. And then they've had it. They're done with church. Like, I don't like someone there. You know what? Then you're really not committed to the local body. And you're not committed to what Christ loves. Do you know who Christ loves? Sinners. And if you don't love sinners, then you're not like Christ. So if every time there's a problem, you want to run, then you're not like Christ. Do you want to prove that you love like Christ loves? Then stick around with a group of sinners and learn how to reconcile problems. Learn how to live with people who are ornery and crusty, people who have sin problems and defects. You want to show what real love is? Then stick with a community of believers. That's what Christ calls us to when we join a church. A commitment to attend, and we attend long enough till we get to a point where we're going to have to make a commitment to peace. Solving problems God's way because it's just a group of sinners that are gathering together and we all have flaws and failures. You make a commitment to attend, to seek peace, and to deal with problems. You know, good church members are good forgivers. Have you forgiven anybody lately? No, I haven't forgiven anybody lately. You need to involve your life in more people's lives. They'll give you opportunities to forgive. Good church members are good forgivers. They're like Christ in that. So what does it mean to be a church member? It means commitment. Commitment to attend, to seek peace, to deal with problems. So commitment. I'd say number two, what does it mean to be a church member? It means responsibility. When you become a church member, this is what you say to people around you. I am now your responsibility, and you are now my responsibility. Now, there's a whole lot of people that love to live solo. They love to live free. They love to live like a maverick. But when you become a church member, you're actually saying, I am now your responsibility, and you are now my responsibility. It is a commitment to watch out for one another, to be involved in each other's lives. You become responsible for one another. You become responsible for the work of the ministry. You become responsible for growth in your spiritual life along with the rest of the church. Those are our responsibilities. So we make a commitment, we become responsible, and here's the third part of what it means to be a member. You live in submission. You live in submission. You're not going to be a good church member if you can't learn to live in submission. All of us submit to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. There's no one in this church who's outside of the responsibility to submit. All of us submit. Submit yourselves to God. And then it says, submit yourselves to one another. You get to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, one to another. So there's mutual submission. Submission to God, submission to one another, and then there's submission to church elders. That comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, and 1 Peter 5, 5. So we live in submission to God, to one another, and church leaders. Well, church membership is a pretty important deal. It's an idea that's threaded throughout the New Testament. When you're a church member, it is the church's endorsement that you are someone who they recognize as a believer who's living in obedience to Christ. And it's their endorsement on you. So as long as you're in good fellowship as a church member, the church is saying that you are, as far as they can tell, a believer in Jesus Christ who's living in obedience. If you stop attending, then we're going to withdraw your membership because we have no way of endorsing that you are living for Christ in obedience and that you are living out what it means to be a Christian. Or if someone refuses to repent, we withdraw that endorsement. What we're looking for at Gospel Grace Church are people, hopefully people like you and people like me, who are committed, responsible, and submitted within the local church. That's what we hope to cultivate as the years go on with Gospel Grace Church, so that we have a solid core of committed, responsible, submitted members to Christ. What I'd like to do at this time is just talk about some of the evidences of grace in this church. We call it Gospel Grace Church, but there are so many evidences of grace. And we get to be partakers. This is what I want to submit to you. If you're a member of Gospel Grace Church, then you have the privilege of partaking of the fruit of God's blessing. It should nourish your soul. What's going to happen tonight is going to nourish your soul because it's just going to be evidence of God's work among us. And those things nourish us. And so I want to walk through some different things tonight. I want to kind of take you on some different memories. I want to talk about different answers to prayer. And we're going to talk about some of the church finances and how God has been at work in those as well, with just giving us resources to spend for His glory. I want to start with just some answers to prayer. So before I start listing some of the ones that popped into my mind, I want you to think about some that pop into your mind. What are some of the evidences of God's grace in answers to prayer in your own life? Can you think of any? Let's just do some popcorn ones. Which ones come to mind? Just some answers to prayer where God has just answered prayer. Real quick, not stories, not long tales, just answers to prayer. Pops. We meet in. Yeah, this place is an answer to prayer. Yep. What else? Yeah, for Josh, just a job transfer here. Yep, getting you guys out here. Yeah, Bobby just got a job recently. Praise God. Yeah, answer to prayer. What else? What's that? Yeah, housing. Yep. Think about John and Beth. They just got a house. Yep. Yeah, Mark? Yeah. 9 families because of this outreach. Yeah, can you go close that door? Thank you. Yeah, 9 families from outreach. What else? Yeah, pop. Yeah, just different jobs for the pastors, just doing tent making. I was thinking about Anu. You know, remember us praying for Anu and what should happen and whether she'd get a residency or not. And God led her to a Christian residency program and allowed Sunil's parents to come here. And that's an answered prayer. I was looking back to our last meeting. Do you know Jonathan Griggs didn't have a job at our last family meeting? And he was on the prayer list. We were praying for him to get a job. And he got a job. And they're not doing a 3-hour trek down here anymore on Sundays. And Susanna Frazier got a promotion since our last family meeting. Nick Higgins got a job. We were praying about that. I mean, it's been a while since we had a family meeting, but Nick Higgins got a job. And the first family from up on base started coming to the church. Think about that, from starting up there. And God's taken us through some series where he's really deepened us. I think those are answers to prayer when we went through Gospel Defined. Just that God would teach us about who he is and what he's done. And God did that through that series. And even now through the Names of God series that Nick is doing. And we've had great attendance at our community groups. You know, about 70 to 85% of people who are here on Sundays are in community groups on Wednesdays as we went through the school year. That's fantastic. Just people being discipled and prayed for. We went through the series on beginnings in Genesis 1 through 11, where the Lord just taught us from the beginning of Scripture. I was thinking about some of the things the Lord has given this tiny group. We own a $45,000 trailer filled with all kinds of sound equipment and nursery equipment and all of that, and we don't owe anything on it. The Lord has just provided that. We own about a $3,000 sound system and set up stuff for out in the park, for different places in the community where we can do different events and proclaim Christ. All those things have been provided for us through the giving of Gospel Grace Church members and friends from the outside. Any more pop into your head? Yeah, Josh? Yeah, you know, we're going to show some evidences, some fruit from that tonight, but just DJ kind of starting to connect us, and then different students starting to come, and all of those things have just been answers to prayer, evidences of God's grace. Any others? Yeah, Josh, another one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what a blessing. Yeah, I think about the families that have come from that and the ones at Backyard Bible Club too. We've had some repeating families come into that. Do you know, I mean, we pray that God would direct us towards the lost, that he would weave our lives into the lives of other people in the city. That's why we came. And so when he does it, we can't just pass over it. We have to stop and give praise to God. I mean, 9 families in the last 2 weeks just being part of our church service who have been reached through these different door hangers and things in the park and all that stuff. Those are just treasures, blessings from God. I think about all those people we've talked to so far on Friday nights in the park. Not all of them have come. Not all of them do we have their information. But they've been people who we stand on the outside and they'll stop their running or they'll pull up their bike and they just want to know what's going on in the park. And you get to tell them about a new church in the area. And you kind of wonder what kind of fruit is going to eventually come from that. I think about some of the children who have heard the gospel this summer at Backyard Bible Club. I was just looking at through some of the pictures of plant camp. One of them, I don't know how many of you were there. There was a day that they did the wordless book with M&Ms. And it was they had these huge M&M costumes that were different colors. They were all lined up and they were just sharing the gospel with these children. I've got a picture of it on my phone. Just how children have come and heard the gospel this year. So we've launched some new websites. There's some different things that have been done, different partners who have come. All those things are evidences of God's grace. What I'd like to do is just kind of walk through some of the pictures, just some of the reminders of what God has done, and then we're going to get to some of the resources that we have that the Lord's given us to manage, and then we're going to close in prayer tonight. So let's see here. See if this works. There we are. I wanted to start with just reminding us about why we came to this city. Do you remember why we came? Because some of you moved here from across the country. The reason we came to this city is because as we looked across the U.S., we saw that there were only 3% of Salt Lake City residents who were in a Protestant church on a given Sunday. And beyond that, there was only 1.3% that were going to a gospel preaching church of any kind in this city. So I want you to think about the million plus people who are in this valley, and only 1.3% of them today were in a gospel preaching church. I mean, just line up 100 people and we could only grab about one of them out, and they were in a gospel preaching church today. And so why did we come here? We came here because there was a desperate need. We came here because we really wanted the gospel to go into this valley, and we wanted to make a difference in this state. We wanted to come to the city because of the 2.7 million people here in Salt Lake. 2 million live within 1 hour of this city. I just want to tell you, our prayer is not simply for this little pocket of the university. Maybe that's your prayer, and I say keep praying, but I want you to enlarge your vision a little bit. We're actually praying that this state would be reached for Christ, that in the years to come, that percentage of people who love the gospel and embrace the gospel will increase in this whole state. And we want to do that by coming to this city, because within an hour of this place right here are 2 million of the 2.7 million in the state. And we want them to hear the gospel. And so that's what we're praying for. It's a strategic place. This is a dark city, and it needs gospel light. I say a dark city because some of us have felt oppression. Some of us have had spiritual battles in this place. Spiritual warfare has gone on in our own personal lives or in our families' lives or in different things, as situations at work or whatever. There's been spiritual warfare. It's a dark city that's been under a shroud of darkness for a long time. There has been an angel that looks like light with a gospel that looks like the gospel in some ways who has cloaked this place. And this place has been underneath that cloak for a long time. And we are here to shine light in it. And I want to tell you, that's not welcoming to the one who has held this city for a long time. And so we just pray and we continue to pray that gospel light will shine out of this city. Our plan has simply been this. We want to have a team that goes into this city. And so we're not trying to do this solo. We're not trying to do this alone or be mavericks. We need a team. We feel like this area and the vision demands it. We want to be a team. Our prayer is that we would have multiple new congregations. So I just want you to, we keep dripping this stuff because we want it to be part of the DNA of this church plant. And that is, we want to see multiple churches established in this valley. And then finally, on here, we're praying that there will be mother, sister, daughter, multi-site, whatever, just that there will be gospel preaching works that will scatter through Salt Lake City. What's at the core of GGC? These are our core values. We looked at these a number of months ago. We went one by one through them in our gospel defined class. But we are here. This is what's at the core. We want to see authentic worship. We want to see Christian community. We want to see discipleship. We want to see intentional evangelism. The reason I'm putting these up here is because I want you to ask yourself, are these part of who I am? Am I striving for these things in my own personal life? We want to be committed to scriptural truth, mercy and compassion, evident faith, holiness, eternally minded stewardship, and purposeful multiplication. These are our core values. These are the things that we value as Gospel Grace Church. These are the things that we're aiming towards. Some of the praises. That little girl got a front porch, right? Just think about the cops, and we're praying for them about what to do next, and they got a house. And we just give thanks for that. Think about Plant Camp Week 1. Boy, I missed being here this morning. I really missed being here. But do you remember a week ago when this place was just filled? It was like filled completely up, and the singing was so full. It was amazing. And just think about all the things that happened during Plant Camp Week 1. Got an opportunity to listen to the testimonies and listen to the things that God did in their hearts. And we were all a part of that. We were all a part of what God did this last week in so many lives. Think about community outreach in the park. You know, there were people here this morning. I heard there were people here this morning because of the people who reached out in the park. I just think that's so cool that God is using us and he's working in this area. There were different service projects that were done. There was a group that came and sealed our fence. There was another group that went and painted at John's house. All of those things were such a blessing to us. Those to us are evidences of grace, is people's kindness and love towards us. Let's see if I can get this to move forward here. We got a tent and a grill. Those things, those are just tools for ministry, aren't they? And our Friday nights in the park. I don't know who those people are, but they must have showed up in the park on Friday night and we didn't see them. We launched two new websites, so I want you to check these out. We have one for children. It's called gospelgracekids.com. And it's on our banner and it's on our info that we're going out for Backyard Bible Clubs. And we had two new people just sign up on that this weekend. Just saw the web info and they signed up their kids to come this coming Tuesday. And so the Lord's even using some of these things like this new website to reach people. So we're thankful for that. We've got another one for Plant Camp. And John, what's the address of the Plant Camp SLC? PlantCampSLC.com. And this is set up because our prayer is that we'll be able to do more plant camps as the years go on and bring different groups in that they can help in the establishment of new congregations. I mean, wouldn't that be great for us to be able to start another church and have more groups come in to do the advertising and do the outreach and partner with us in that to see the Lord continue to reach the city? There's already four churches that have contacted us about next year, about coming and bringing their groups just to help reach the city. So those things are exciting. So we're thankful for these. Pastor John has put together these two new websites. We got a new book. And do we have one here? They'll be here tomorrow by 10. Talk about last minute. We got these new books printed for Plant Camp. And it'll have, I think it's like 148 pages of stuff. And it's all the sermon notes. It's all the stuff they're reading and learning through the week. And they're going to be able to take that book home with them at the end of the week. So we're excited about that. There's a new student organization. I'm going to ask Jonathan from the back, if you just stand up and just give us just a quick overview of what the Lord has done with Gospel Grace to the U.
I mentioned earlier about some of the relationships that God brought to us over the last year. Student Body Vice President last year, DJ Payton. And then that just kind of networked through the campus. A lot of strategic connections in with the administration here and the student office called ASUU, which is kind of the student government. Handles all the facilitation of the student organization. At University of Utah, you need three students to say, I want to sponsor this organization. And God has brought at least three students to us that actually want to identify as members of the Gospel Grace Church. And so it's really been our desire for presence that we want to have on campus, that it's not Gospel Grace Church that has a group here, but it's actually Gospel Grace. It's Gospel Grace Church having ministry there, not just kind of an extension ministry. And so the life of this congregation, we want to see fleshed out and reaching the people. And I keep going like this because there are 4,000 people that live right out of this door right here. And so what this God allowed us this summer to apply, write a constitution. We were granted permission the day that Joe submitted it. And so you're going to be hearing about some several projects and things that we have coming up at the end of August, which is when the majority of the students come onto campus. Tabling at the Student Union up here at the Heritage Center. Many people know about Gospel Grace Church. There's one exciting thing that Joseph has been working on is that, you think about the international students. There's 800 international students that come on the University of Utah campus in the fall. There's just 800 new students coming in 2 months. Now, how are we going to connect with these students? Well, Joe uses the public transportation, ETA, a whole lot. And he was thinking, this would be a great way to kind of help acclimate these foreign students into this community. And so when we did a little research, we found out that the University of Utah has never held any kind of seminar or help session for people that understand how to use ETA. And so, so did some research, he contacted how we could have some kind of help with UTA. And so I have 3 slots the week of International Student Orientation. Would you come and fill those slots? And would you, you know, help? So, so these are just one of several opportunities we have this fall with students through Gospel Grace Campus Fellowship. So you can be praying that it will go beyond the University of Utah to Westminster, Weber State, SLIC, which is the Salt Lake Community College, and Gospel Grace Church can have a presence in reaching these students on these campuses. So there's just a few things,
yeah.
And there's ways that you can be connected and involved in August. So let's
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. You know, we put that picture up there in the bottom right, but that's when we were here on a survey trip. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we went to the student union and we gathered there with some people who were just visiting, and we just prayed that God would allow us to have an impact on the campus. And so that's from over a year ago when we were just praying that God would allow us to do that, and he's answering prayer. So Gospel Grace Campus Fellowship is an answer to prayers that were right there in the student union when we first got here, and just ask God to open up doors. And there's more that's going on. And so we're excited about that. That's an evidence of God's grace. Think about Music in the Park. And, you know, I've talked to people already. I've only been at 2 of them because I missed this last Friday while I was up at this conference. But I've been to 2 of them, and I've talked to people both Friday nights that were visitors who heard the music and they came over. And I think if you'll look for them in the upcoming Friday nights, if you'll look, you'll find these people who are going to stop on the periphery, and they're just wondering, well, what is this group, and what are you guys doing, and what's this church about, and why is it different? And you'll just be able to talk to people about the gospel and talk to them about why we're here. And so keep your eyes open for people like that, because they hear the music and they come over. So we're so thankful for that and for the fellowship that we have in the park. We're so thankful for Backyard Bible Club and just the kids who have come and heard the gospel and the family connects that we've made. I remember standing in my front yard there just talking to a woman named Monica who brought her children over, and it's because some people were in the park handing out these Backyard Bible Club invitations, and she decided to bring her kids. And I think about Autumn, who came and just spent some time talking with Liesl and asked for prayer. At the end of the conversation, she said, would you pray with me? And just asked for prayer. And so some of those things that are happening right there through Backyard Bible Club. See if we can get this to go forward. There we go. Some things that are coming up that we haven't done yet, but we're excited about. And that is that we want to keep our eyes lifted up, not just beyond this place, and not just to the city, and not just to the valley, but also to the world, about what God is doing around the world. And so we have an opportunity this year to have hopefully 2 friends come. And these are people that we have longtime relationships with that are being used by God in different parts of the world. And it is going to thrill your heart to hear about gospel ministry in different parts of the world. I can remember before I came to this place, God was stirring in my heart to go to a place where the gospel light was not so bright. And I had no idea where I was going to go. So I got online and I went to this place called the Joshua Project. And I started to fold through different pages and look at different people from around the world. And they're all in their customary garb and they look so different. And I just thought about, boy, God is at work in all these different places. And I want us to have a heartbeat that resonates with gospel work, not just in our neighborhood, but also to the nations of the world. And so in July, over on the right-hand side, the man's name is Segundo Rodriguez, and he's a Peruvian who, I'm just going to tell you, this guy, he is going to encourage your heart. This dude travels to these mountain villages that are closed off for months out of the year because of rainy seasons. He goes down in the Amazon River Basin, and he meets in these remote places with pastors who live in villages who take... I went to one of them. I went to this place called Requena with Segundo, and it was in the Amazon Valley, and we went a 5-hour boat trip up this river, and these pastors took a week off of work. They were going to lose income for a week to come and sleep on wood floors so that they could learn more about how to shepherd their flocks. They have no books. They have no study materials. Some of them have a Bible, you know what I mean? And they're just trying to minister in the jungle of Peru. So Segundo will travel to these different places and train pastors. And he is just an amazing guy. So he's going to be here in July and just encourage our hearts for what God's doing in South America. And then over on the left-hand side is John Zimmer. And he's going to be back in furlough. He's from Palau. And Nick spent a whole summer over there with John. And actually, John, he was a pastor. When I was single, I would stay with John Zimmer and his wife on weekends, and I'd stay at their house, and I went to the church there. Had a huge impact on my life. Just has a passion for God, and he's been ministering over in Palau, and we're hoping he's going to make it up. He's trying to make his schedule work so that he can come up here and just share what God's doing in Palau. But anyways, we're just really praying that God will give us a vision for the world and what he's doing around the world and encourage our hearts for the nations and not just our neighborhoods. We're so thankful for new ministry partners this summer, for Josh and Caroline Roland and their kids. They're here for the summer, and they have already been a huge blessing. I love this picture of Josh. He has a pink tie and a very big smile. And we really like that picture. But Josh is here personally, and so if you want to see what he really looks like, he's right there. And then we have Laura and Jonathan, and we're so thankful for their partnerships with this church, just moving out here. So Laura just got here. So Laura, raise your hand. I hope everyone was able to meet Laura. She was here last fall, too. And so Laura's here. She just got into the city, has a little green Volkswagen Bug that she's going to be driving around. And we're just praying for Laura to find a job. So pray for that about Laura. Pray that she finds a job here. And she just wants to be a ministry intern and commit her gifts to the furtherance of ministry of Gospel Grace Church and the Big C, the church at large. And Jonathan Jarrett is here. Pray for Jonathan to find a job. He's been all over and he's putting out applications, and we're just praying that he finds a job. And he's here to serve as a pastoral assistant here at Gospel Grace Church. So we're so thankful for them. We're going to keep flying through these. We're thankful for new outreach materials. I'm just going to tell you this. I am shocked at John Kopp. The dude's a machine. That's all I can say. I'm going to tell you, some churches have no graphic artists in their whole church, and they have to like hire someone online to somehow piece this together. You have to go back and forth with proofs and do all this. Like, I show up on this Friday night, and John, that week, had like designed these, had them printed, and had them shipped by 10 o'clock. On Monday, right? I mean, he's a machine. And all of a sudden, all these are here. And then they just spread through the city. I mean, do you know, like, more than 6,000 of these went through the city. And then as a result of that, we have, like, 7 to 9 visiting families that come to our church. I'm just going to say, like, God uses different people's gifts in different ways to further his cause. And so we're just thankful for all these new outreach materials. We're thankful for some different things that have happened with the Pregnancy Resource Center. There was a Walk for Life that a number of us were able to be a part of. Also think about fostering here in the city. Pastor John and Beth are now home approved in their new home to have foster kids come. And so we're just praying for the Lord's will with that and the right timing. So we're so excited about different outlets for the gospel. University ministry, we've talked about that. We're excited about this fall. Then Hill Air Force Base. This was taken just this weekend. And there were 75 to 80 adults where one of the spouses was just on a deployment for 6 months or more and got back, or one of the spouses is getting ready to go in the next month or so and be gone from their family. And so all of these families had a deployer, and I was able to teach 4 times. It was called Marriage Care, and give 4 sessions on Marriage Care. And then this morning I was able to preach to anyone who wanted to stay. And there were about 50 adults who stayed for a service this morning. I was able just to preach and give the gospel this morning. And so we're so thankful for these. These are just partnerships in the gospel where the Lord is opening unique doors of ministry here. This is some of the stuff. I wanted to highlight some of the things that I'm doing in my job, because I think it's an evidence of grace that God has given me a job where I can like counsel people. So I'm able to provide marriage, family, grief, crisis counseling for people, encourage people through resiliency briefings, and I'm able to write articles that go out to like more than 7,000 people every other month, assist in conflict resolution, advise leadership, do a lot of these different things. And in the first 6 months, this is what the Lord's just opened doors for, 232 different counseling opportunities that people have come, made an appointment to and bring their problems of life, and I'm able to give them God's answers. And to me, that's just an evidence of grace. Different marriage retreats, Bible studies. There's 2 lunchtime Bible studies that I'm that I'm running up on base, and now there's almost 30 people that are involved in those Bible studies, adults that come during their lunch break to learn about Scripture. So we're just excited about what's going on up at the base, and just thankful for that. Different counseling opportunities with family, suicide intervention. I mean, there's 12 up there. You can see suicide intervention and suicide ideation. 12 people. That's why I got hired on, because they had 5 suicides within 4 weeks up on the base there. And there have been people who just come broken and are just desperately needy. I have met with people that I've never seen such brokenness. They're just weeping and shaking on the floor in my office, just broken. And they have no hope, and they really need Christ. And so those are just opportunities for God to do miracles in people's lives and in people's marriages and in different times of crisis. So we're just thankful for that. We're thankful for redemptive relationships in the city. You all are doing that. When you go to work and you're talking to your friends, or you're bringing them to community group, or they visit us on a Friday night, or you're sharing the gospel, or you're having gospel conversations. That's why we're here. That's why we're here in the city, that God would provide redemptive relationships. I love this picture because this was on our first visit when these 4 crazy guys didn't know if we were going to come here or plant a church or if we could work together or what God was doing. And we're just so thankful for what he's done. This Gospel Grace Church is such an answer to prayer. It is such a miracle of God's grace that people are here and people are being reached. And so by faith, we just want to go into the city and see disciples made. What is evident faith? What are we longing that God would do in us? To live by faith means we're trusting that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Here at Gospel Grace Church, we want to obey God regardless of the cost. And even if we don't know all the details, we refuse to dig our roots into that which is passing away. And instead, we choose to set our affections on things above and live like pilgrims and strangers here on this earth. We want to bank everything on the promises of God, willingly invest our families, our finances, or our future into that which is not yet and not seen. And that means we may appear to some people to be illogical or radical or risky, but we will strengthen each other in the fact that the just live by faith. And that is our prayer here at Gospel Grace Church, that we will have evident faith in our lives. I want to talk about some of the things that have happened. So here you're going to get an attendance chart of kind of what's happened. So you see August to October, November to January, February to April, and then May to June. So let's take a look at that, what it looks like. This is our average attendance. We're not counting plant camp people. This is just our average weekly attendance of Gospel Gracers. Isn't that encouraging? I mean, what a blessing that God is growing our church. He's adding people to Gospel Grace Church. We're so thankful for that. Here's our giving. Kind of see this thing going up. Isn't that a blessing? That God's just increasing our giving here. I hope he's forming us into sacrificial servants, people who want to give to a cause that's bigger than ourselves. There's our monthly giving. Okay, here's our financial report. I'm going to ask the guys in the back if they will go ahead and hand out a 1-page summary of kind of where our finances are at. So this is our first time of doing a financial report. It's the first time that we've had members. And so here's your opportunity to kind of see what the resources are that God has blessed our church with. We're so thankful for this. You can kind of see some summary figures. We kind of put a summary up at the top, and then we put an expenses list at the bottom. It's very simple. Some of you maybe have been in business meetings where you have 14 pages that you're trying to flip through. We're a church plant, and it's a little bit simpler right now, okay? Here's what it is. You can see what our expenses are on the bottom. You can see kind of what our assets are on the top, and this is kind of our summary. I just want to walk through it and praise to God. First thing is our general fund balance right now is $67,605. That's what our church has in general fund. Now, we have the credit card's going to get paid on the 10th of July, and so our liabilities, you see that's our Visa, MasterCard, when we buy different items for church needs on that, so there's $2,400 outstanding. But when that gets paid on July 10th, our total will be $65,107. So that's basically what do we have available, what's in our general fund? $65,000 at Gospel Grace Church. That is a huge blessing for a church plant. And so we give thanks to God. We don't owe any money. We don't have any loans or liens or anything like that. I mean, this is what the Lord has blessed us with, and we're so thankful. You can see the average weekly tithes and offerings right now are at $17,80.46, which is really incredible for our group. And that is that people are just sacrificially giving. They love the church. They love what's being done, and they want to partner with their resources. And it is a blessing to partner with you in that. Our average weekly expenses, you can see that, are about $767. We talk about different things we've had to purchase for outreach and the rental of the facilities and all of that. It comes to about $767 a week. So you can see that actually our giving surpasses our weekly expenses by about $1,000 a week. It's just a blessing. Special missions project we were able to give to this year with Charlie Ashley was $230. Our expenses are on the bottom. You can see kind of the breakout of the major headings and what we've spent money on. And the total for the year comes to $19,194.79. I want to give you just a moment to look that over, and then I'm going to make a motion that we receive the financial statement as it's been given. Okay, let me make the motion. We haven't voted on anything yet except members. This is like new. Wow. But this is important that we do, that we give the members an opportunity to look at our resources and our expenditures and allow them to ask questions. So I'm going to make the motion, then we'll open it up for any discussion that you might have. I'd like to make the motion that we accept the financial report as it's been presented. And now I'd like to open it up for any discussion. If there's any questions that you have about kind of where things are at or anything. Yes. Yes, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. I have a graph that I'll show in just a minute that shows kind of the balance between our outside support and what we're making through tent making, and kind of how that's working out, and then some of the plan. Maybe I'll just share some of what we've talked about and what we've prayed about. We will actually have our first budget this coming December. So as many of you know, we didn't have members until this last like 2 months. We've been voting in members almost every week. And we also didn't have an originating group, so there's no budget yet with budget categories. That will be voted in December. So we'll vote in our first actual budget, and we'll be able to see basically a year's worth of ministry expenses, so hopefully we can formulate a pretty decent budget. Well, as part of that budget, this last year, we didn't want to... A church plant is kind of like a young child. And that is, I could have Kana come up here and I could put 100 pounds on her back and she may be able to stand under it for a little while, but probably not, or not for long. And so part of our burden in a church plant is that we're able to do vibrant ministry as a church without the child collapsing under the weight of it. And especially since we have 3 pastors, I mean, for a church this size to have 3 pastors is unusual, but it's kind of bound to our philosophy of, Lord willing, planting more churches and team ministry. And so because of that, we didn't want to burden the church immediately with it. And that's why we're all tent makers. That's why we're making our needed money on the outside through secular work. However, what we would like the church to do is gradually be able to begin bearing the weight of gospel ministry so that those who proclaim the word and those who proclaim the gospel can live by the gospel. And so that's what we'd like to introduce gradually. And so our desire would be that the church, as it's able, and we'll take a look at that in December and kind of talk about it even more and research more, but would begin to pick up things that would be more like benefits than things that are more like salaries. And so maybe the church would be able to pick up the health insurance of the pastors. Like, that'd be a big deal, you know, something like that. And it would free them to do more ministry and have to work less. Or maybe the church would be able to pick up the cell phone plan you know, of the pastors. Or may the church be able to make a contribution to retirement or cover some education. Those would be all like benefits type things that wouldn't come in as taxable income, but would free the pastors up to do more ministry. Does that make sense? So to answer your question, that's kind of where we're heading as a first step. And want to prayerfully suggest to the church when we get to the time of budget time in December. That's a great question. Thanks. Any other questions? Pops?
Yeah, vehicle expense. It's not separated from the facility.
Right. What that is that's for, we've had to rent on a few occasions, we've had to rent a U-Haul F-150 to haul the trailer, because at one point we paid to have a hitch put onto my Suburban, but they installed it wrong at the mechanic shop and it bent the whole frame of our Suburban. So we had to go to a frame shop, and the frame of the Suburban had to be bent back. And so that week it couldn't tow, you know, the trailers we had to rent. And so that's what that's for. It's included in there. So when we talk about vehicle, we're actually talking about the renting of the U-Haul truck. I think that's happened 2 times that we've had to rent a U-Haul. So that's what that's for. Great question. In the back.
You're also saying that it's still downloaded. That's kind of grouping together several things on just a simplicity sake.
Yeah.
And there's probably 15 different things in there that we could put it towards as well.
Yeah, so like the rental of the facilities that we do each week, all of that stuff's in that category. Great. Any other questions? Okay. Well, we've made a motion. And is there someone who will second that motion? Okay, seconded. We've had time of discussion. Seeing no more. All in favor of receiving this as our financial report for June 30th, 2013, say aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, great. Wow, look at that, our first one. It's a one pager. Let's leave it at one page, right? Let's keep it simple. Okay. I want to see what else we have up here. This is the graph I was talking about. The pastors right now are not receiving funds from Gospel Grace Church as support. The support they receive comes from partnering churches. So before we got out here, we spent about 20 weeks in the summer going to different churches and presenting the church planting ministry. And some of those churches decided to partner with us financially. And so they contribute support to those individual families. So you can see the blue part is the support that each one receives. So if you subtract backwards from 100%, you can see what the percentage of support is. The part at the top is the amount that they're receiving or making through tent making. That's what they have to make up through tent making. So you can kind of see how that goes. Our goal would be, what's going to happen over time is most likely the supporting or partnering churches, that support is going to dwindle. And then our hope is that Gospel Grace Church will increase, and then we will have support through that. So that's our prayerful goal. Any questions on that? Okay. These are some of the things that we're working on right now. Our 501c3 application is just about ready to mail. So we're excited about that. We are incorporated as a nonprofit in Utah, which allows us to give tax receipts for giving. But we want to be a 501c3 because it's a federal tax-exempt status. And we're just about ready. Nick has actually been working on that quite a bit. And so we're so thankful for that. That's hard work. I mean, think about like IRS tax forms on steroids. And that's what you get with this. So we're thankful for Nick on that. We're working on that. We're so thankful for the new people who have joined us to aid the pastors in doing ministry. And for Will, in 2014, Will Galkin is going to start centering his ministry here in the summer. And so we're excited about that. Josh has been here for this summer to start plant camps. But he's going to be ministering in Atlanta starting this fall as a pastor there. And so we're excited that Will is going to be able to spend his summers here starting next summer to help with the facilitation of plant camps and spend more time here with his family. We've talked about the part-time work, and this is some of our intention. I talked a little bit about this, health insurance, education, cell phone, travel, retirement, some of those things. That's where we'd like the church to start bearing underneath some of the weight of support for the pastors. And I just want to remind us, it's been only 10 months. It's only been 10 months that we've been here, and the Lord has just done great things. We have believers and unbelievers coming. We've had our first baptism. We have several new members. Many are sharing Christ with coworkers and neighbors, planting seeds for the gospel. Friends are coming and joining us. And so it's encouraging just to see the Lord build his church. And we're anticipating some to move here to the city and join us. And so we're just excited about what God is doing in this church. Here's some ways that you can serve with us. We're not planning to be a church. We are a church. We are going to have a chartering service. And what that means is we're going to have an actual chartering document that people who are members in the first year are going to be able to sign up as just the starting members of Gospel Grace Church. So that's going to be exciting. That's going to be in the month of September. So on September 8th, 15th, and 22nd, we're going to have three kind of significant services where we're really going to be focusing on introducing people to Gospel Grace and Gospel Grace to the community. And so those three services, what we're going to preach on is we're going to preach on the gospel on the first one, we're going to preach on grace in the second one, and church on the third one. So it's going to be Gospel Grace Church starting September 8th, and it will conclude with our chartering of the first year's members. So we're excited about that. That's going to be coming this fall. Some things everyone can do. Live the gospel, channel grace, and be the church. It's something everyone can do if you're part of Gospel Grace Church. Some things can do depending on your gifts. You can participate in the surveys. You can join these outreaches that are happening with Plant Camp. I want to encourage you, if you have a heart that wants to go do this, the week before when we did Plant Camp week one. It was a hot day. And I was going to go back and study because I was doing 7 preps that week for different speaking things. It was just busy. I was going back to study. Eli goes, can we go hang those things on doors with some of the groups? And to be honest with you, it was hot and I had a lot of work to get done for a prep. I said, you know what? We'll go do it for a little while. It was so much fun just to go out with a group, talk to them, learn about their lives, and just talk to people along the way as we invited them to church. So I want to encourage you, be part of that. Even this upcoming week, join us in the park if you haven't done that. Use your specific gifts to extend God's grace to this city. And I think those are going to summarize the things here. I want to just talk about a few things for the future, just to think about. The university ministry is going to be blossoming. There's a move-in day on August 22nd. There's going to be these Friends of Foreigners opportunities with international students. I want you to think, maybe God wants you to help Pastor Jonathan and help Jotham as they strive to reach into the community here on campus. Pray about that. Maybe God would have you partner with them in some of those ways. Some of you are programmed for Mercy. It's so interesting to me. I was having a meeting with the other pastors, and I said, guys, I would really like to do something where we put together Mercy bags of some sort, you know, where we just have something where we can give to people around the street. And Jonathan, before I even finished, he says, well, I was talking to my sister-in-law and she was already thinking about doing that and already working on it or whatever. And I was like, God's just, he has people's hearts already working towards that. And so I know Bobby's has some ideas about this and we're going to try to help facilitate this any way we can, but we want to have people's cars kind of stuffed with these things called Mercy bags. They're going to be small and they're for when you pull up to an exit. And you're waiting to get off the off-ramp, and there's that person that's standing there, and they're juggling tennis balls, or they have a sign that says, God bless, I'm a vet, or whatever they have, and you don't want to give them money. But what you do want to give them is some things that will help them in life, will extend mercy to them, and will have a gospel tract in there, or maybe a New Testament or something. So we're going to stock people's cars with those, and just extend mercy into our city. And maybe that's something that you're interested, you'd like to be a part of. I think there's going to be organic Bible studies that start, or people that just want to gather with other people in church just to read the scriptures and pray together. You know, if you're needy, like if your heart needs some encouragement, or you need to meet with someone, I just want to say, call someone in the church up and say, hey, when is your lunch break? Can we connect and just read a chapter of the scripture together and pray? We'll eat our lunch while we do it, and then we'll go back to work. Do you know if you would do that once a week with someone else in this church, you would encourage them, they would encourage you, and you would just be refreshed. You say, well, I don't know how to prepare a Bible study. You don't have to prepare a Bible study. You just have to read. Just start in the book of John and read one chapter a week, just with a friend from church. And I'll just tell you, the Lord's just going to bless that. And maybe you're needy and that would be something you'd want to do. Maybe there's a boys' home Bible study. Steve Frazee is getting ready. He's connecting the dots for us to start some Bible studies in some of the boys' homes that are here, like detention facilities that are here in the city, where they're like juvenile homes. And I think we're going to have some great opportunities. Maybe the Lord's going to burden your heart for some of that. Maybe the Lord's just going to burden your heart to do outreach and canvassing or do visitor follow-up and go visit people. Or maybe a gospel Bible study. As we do these surveys throughout the city with these different groups that are coming in, one of the questions on there is, would you be interested in a Bible study? Well, when someone says yes, we want to have people that say, hey, I'd love to do a Bible study for 3 weeks with someone who's interested. Like, you don't even have to go out and find them. We'll connect you with someone that wants someone to study the Bible with. And that'll be a great opportunity. And so if those are things that resonate with your heart or you're interested in, love to do that. We're interested in training ministry leaders. There's going to be more information on this to follow, but people who aspire to maybe be a community group leader or maybe future deacons, we want to start training people for leadership in the church. And so we're going to be giving more information on that, but specific times where people can meet and pray and study together with the intent that they want to really be ministry leaders in the church. And so those are some of our visioneering goals, some of the things we're looking forward to because of what God has done and is doing. I want to give one kind of a reattack to Pastor John and Pastor Jonathan. If there's anything I've left out that's kind of on your mind or heart that you'd like to mention before we stand and pray and dismiss this evening. Is there anything I've missed? Anything? Okay. Why don't we, can we do another song? Is there another song we can sing? Maybe we can stand together. Why don't you stand? We're going to sing a song and end here, just reflecting on God's goodness and His grace in our lives. Hey, we love you. We want to minister to you. If there's anything we can do for you, I hope you'll let us know. All right? It's been a joy to worship and serve with you here at Gospel Grace.